Hi, everyone. Aaron here. I am now going to talk about some of the words and phrases that Dan and I used in our conversation about second chances. The first is tangentially. Dan uses this. He says, "We've had three stories that are somewhat tangentially related to second chances." So this adverb, tangentially, actually comes from the noun tangent. In geometry, a tangent is a straight line that touches, at one point, it touches a curved arc or a curved line. And so the paths of those two lines are different, even though they touch. So if you imagine that you are walking down a curved path, and eventually you get to a point where a straight path, a different path, but a straight path is touching your curved path, you could, at that point, jump over or hop over or walk over to the tangent, the straight path, and start walking in a different direction, okay? So when something is tangentially related or tangential, it means that it is connected but different, right? So that's what he's talking about, that these stories are different stories and they're related to second chances, not directly, but tangentially. We often use this word in its noun form, in the phrase, go off on a tangent. He went off on a tangent. He was talking about gardening, and I mentioned the word rose, and suddenly he went off on a tangent and started talking about love, right? Because roses are related to love. So he went off on a tangent. Really good speakers can go off on tangents and then come back to the main topic. But sometimes people who are not so skilled at speaking, they'll go off on a tangent and they'll forget about the main topic. And sometimes it's hard to follow what they're saying. So you have to be careful when you go off on a tangent, as interesting as it may be in conversation. All right, let's move to the next one. Actually, Dan says this in the very next sentence. I say, yeah, they're different types of second chances. And then Dan says, yeah, completely different. It's a bit of a stretch, right? And what he means by that is it's not so easy to make the connection between the curved arc, the curved path, and the straight path, the tangent. So if you imagine, again, walking on the curved path and the tangent touches the curved path, you can easily step over and start walking on the tangent or go off on the tangent. But if there's a gap, you might need to really stretch to get over there. And if it's not connected at all, wow, you're not going to be able to reach it. You'd need an airplane or some sort of magic jumping shoes to jump all the way over that big gap. So that's what we're talking about. When something is not so easy to do, it's a bit of a stretch. And often we'll use this in a way in conversation to mean a mild exaggeration. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a neighbor and his son is a good swimmer. He's a good swimmer. And one day, your neighbor's very excited. He comes and he says, yeah, my son, he won the city tournament for the swim competition. He's the city champion. He's a great swimmer. And I might think to myself, well, you know, yeah, wow, that's great. You know, and then I find out later that the reason he won is because some of the best swimmers that day were not there. There was a special competition that was even a higher level competition than the city tournament. And some of his main competition was sick or injured on that day. So even though he won the city championship, he's not really a great swimmer. It's a bit of a stretch to say he's a great swimmer. A good swimmer, yes. It's a bit of a stretch to say he's a great swimmer. Okay, so that's an example of how you might use that term. It's a bit of a stretch. So anytime someone exaggerates a little bit, you can say, yeah, but that's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? Like this. Okay, let's move to the next one. Out of the blue. We're talking about this bull named Chance that was cloned by a farmer who loved this bull. And the clone came around and acted just like the bull did. And then one day, out of the blue, it attacked him, right? So when you use this term, out of the blue, it just means completely unexpected, totally unanticipated. It's a total surprise when something like that happens. I think the best way to remember this is imagine a really beautiful sunny day. The sky is blue, bright blue. There's not a cloud in the sky. So you go to the park, you take your family to the park for a picnic. Beautiful day. And then suddenly it starts pouring down rain, right? That rain is literally coming out of the blue sky. It's shocking. There's no way you could have expected that. It's totally out of the blue, right? So that's blue sky starts raining. That's out of the blue. Imagine you go on a first date and your partner's a really nice person. He's a real handsome guy. He has a good job, and you guys get along. You start talking. You have a good conversation over a few drinks, and then suddenly, out of the blue, he starts crying, and he can't stop. Right out of the blue, you don't even know why. Like that's an example of how you would use out of the blue. Or let's say you're driving down the street, and it's not a whole lot of traffic. Everything's smooth. You're going under the speed limit, no problem there. And then out of the blue, a kid on a bike just comes right out in front of you and you slam on your brakes and you almost hit the kid. He came out of the blue. I didn't see him. He came right out of the blue like this. Okay, let's move on. Money to burn, right? We're talking about the couple that had their dog cloned and how expensive it was. It was $100,000 to get their dog cloned. And Dan says, yeah, well, obviously this couple had a lot of money to burn. And if you think about money, it's what it actually is in a literal sense. It's just paper. That's all it is. You can burn it. You can put a match to it and it will burn just like any other paper. But it has a lot more value than paper because we put value into it. So if you have lots and lots of money, you've actually got money to burn. You can afford to burn that money as paper. So this couple, wanted to spend it on their dog, to get it cloned. Most people would never spend that kind of money on a dog. So obviously this couple was rich. And if you have money to burn, that means you're rich or you just have lots of money at the time. Another way to say this is money to blow, which is another way of saying lose. And, people who have money to blow, money to burn, are loaded, right? That's another way to say rich or having lots of money. They have deep pockets like this. Do you know anyone with deep pockets who has money to burn? I know a few people like that. Let's move on to number 5. Good old Melvin. Good old Melvin, right? We're talking about Melvin the dog, and Dan was saying how Melvin would babysit a little kid, and which sounds ridiculous. It sounds crazy, but apparently it's true. And I say, yep, good old Melvin. Oh, man, good old Melvin. And when you use the term good old, you're actually saying good old, good and old, and then the person's name. In this case, it's a dog, but we usually use this with, people. And it's a term of endearment. What this means is, you want to say something nice about the person. You have a good feeling about that person. And so you just say, oh, yeah, good old Melvin. What a good dog. You know, he does everything. He gets cloned. He can babysit children. He probably does everything he's supposed to do. Good old Melvin. But, it's often used when we're talking about someone who is totally human, totally full of imperfections and mistakes, and you love them anyway for it. You have a feeling of endearment towards that person. Let me give you another example. There's a man. He's kind of like an uncle, a second uncle to me. His name's Bob. Good old Uncle Bob. He is one of these guys that's so nice. He's so kind. He always helps other people. He's just a good-hearted man, but people just cannot stand being around him in conversation because he will not stop talking. He won't listen. He'll talk over you, and he just talks, 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 talks. Oh, it's tiring. And so sometimes I'll hear people complain. Oh, gosh, I got stuck in a conversation with Uncle Bob. And it's like, oh, yeah, I've been there. Good old Bob. Good old Uncle Bob. Right. And it's like saying, I love that person, even though he has some faults, even though he's not perfect. We love him anyway. So anytime you feel good about someone, even though they might be behaving badly or doing things over and over that annoy you or bother you, you can use that term of endearment and people will appreciate it. They'll like to hear that. It's a positive kind of statement. Okay, let's move to the next one. Creep you out, right? I asked Dan, if you lost a child, would you want to clone your child? And Dan says, no, I wouldn't. I think that would creep you out. Well, he's talking about anybody. Creep you out or creep me out or creep him out. So to creep someone out, right? Well, this creep, this verb creep, actually means to kind of walk very slowly in a stealthy kind of stalking kind of way. You know, cats, they will creep up on their prey before they pounce. Or an insect might creep up slowly on its prey before it catches its food, like this. So to creep, you know, it's kind of a scary, uncomfortable sort of action. And the adjective is creepy, right? So you can talk about things that are creepy. Creepy people, creepy insects, creepy movies, creepy houses, creepy old house, a story that creeps you out, right? It makes you feel scared or anxious or uncomfortable or somewhat disgusted. It's creepy. Do you know any creepy people? Do you know any stories or movies that creep you out, right? Like this. So that's what creep you out means. Okay, let's move on. Kickstart is the next one. This is a verb. And we're talking about cloning, the process of cloning another organism. And Dan says they actually kickstart it with electricity. That's real Frankenstein stuff, right? Kickstart it with electricity. He's talking about, I guess, the egg and the sperm, the little embryo, right, that's growing. They kickstart it. They get it going. They get the life energy moving with electricity. So this verb, kickstart, actually this comes, I think this comes from the starting a motorcycle, you know, and if you want to start the engine of a motorcycle, you literally have to use your leg and you kickstart it. You got to forcefully and very quickly put your leg on a lever and kick in a downward motion to get that bike started. And sometimes you got to kick 4 or 5 times or 6 or 7 times to get the motor started. That's what kickstarting is. Now, we've taken that term and we now use it for a lot of different things. And it basically means to forcibly or very, very quickly with lots of energy start something up. So in this case, the doctors or the researchers are kickstarting the development of this embryo into an organism with electricity. Some people kickstart a new sales campaign. Let's say a company kickstarts a new sales campaign. They kind of aggressively and energetically start the campaign and they put lots of energy into it. They kickstart it. Some companies, when they're forming or are kickstarted with an influx or an investment of lots of money. You know, if you're starting a company and you don't have any money, it's very slow to get going. But if someone gives you a big chunk of money, it can really kickstart your growth as a company. So that's what kickstart means. All right, we have a few more to go here. The next is gives it away. We're talking about, you know, this possibility of cloning a woolly mammoth. And I, in my joking mood, I say to Dan, yeah, that's interesting. Hey, do you think you have any woolly mammoth blood in you, Dan? And I say, I think you do. And Dan says, yeah, I feel it. And I say, the fur on your face just gives it away. So gives it away. This is actually a really good phrase. It just means it reveals a secret or maybe some kind of hidden knowledge or facts that are under the surface that are not obvious, right? But sometimes something can give those away, like make them come out into the open, make it obvious what the truth is. And things that do that are giveaways. They are, it is, for example, it is a giveaway. So in this case, I'm jokingly, of course, saying that Dan may possibly have some woolly mammoth genes in his family history, and I point to his beard, and I say the fur on your face gives it away, as if that is the sign that he is related to a woolly mammoth. Because if you've ever seen a picture of Dan, he often has a very furry, thick, dark beard on his face, right? Just like a mammoth would have on its body. So that gives it away. Dan's beard is a giveaway. And if it's really a strong giveaway, we can say it's a dead giveaway. That means we're 100% certain it's a dead giveaway, right? The fur on his face is a dead giveaway. He is definitely related to woolly mammoths like this. Let me give you another few examples. Let's say that your husband is applying for a new job, and it's a job that he really, really wants. And to support him, you go with him to the interview, and you wait in the lobby. And you're really hoping that the interview will go well, but you don't know, and your husband is very nervous about it. And when your husband, as soon as he walks out of the interview room, the smile on his face and his body language give it away. He had a successful interview, and he knows it. That's a giveaway, right? It's a dead giveaway. His wife knew immediately, right when she saw his face, that he had a great interview, right? His smile gave it away like this. So that's kind of how it works. Let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. Whole nother. Whole nother. We're talking about this woman, Barbara, who, you know, had a lot of negative press on TV because of the things she was doing with sterilizing women, sterilizing mothers, actually. And then Dan says a whole nother angle on it is the fact that she raised these four children that she loves very much, and they wouldn't exist if her NGO was around before. He says, then a whole nother angle on it. What does this mean, whole nother? This is kind of interesting because actually it's totally grammatically incorrect the way it sounds, because there are two ways that you can say this. You can say, then there is another angle on it, or you can say there is a whole other angle on it. Let me repeat that one more time. There is another angle on it. There is a whole other angle on it. But the way that Dan pronounces it, he says there's a whole nother, as if to say whole plus another, which is totally grammatically incorrect. However, almost every native speaker I've listened to says whole nother. I say it all the time. It's a very common way to say whole other or another. It's a whole nother, a whole nother. So get used to that when native speakers will say it like that all the time. What they're actually saying is whole other, whole nother. They put an N in there, and I don't know where that comes from. Maybe some kind of original confusion between another and other. I don't know, but that's how people speak. Okay, the last one, surreal. Surreal, right? We're talking about Akira and how he has removed tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of landmines with just a stick, a knife, and his bare hands without any protection to his body over decades, right? It's just, I say it's unreal, and then I say it's surreal in a way, but yeah, pretty amazing guy. So I initially say it's unreal, and then I say it's surreal. It's kind of like, well, what's the difference between the two? Basically, unreal means it's not real. It's factually false. And in this case, that's actually not true. And that's probably why I corrected myself by saying it's surreal. Because surreal is the feeling that you're in a dream. Like it's almost something that your imagination creates. Right, this guy, to do that for that many years and never be injured and to save so many people's lives by, with your bare hands, taking out landmines, it's just surreal. It's hard to believe that it's actually real. So if something is actually real, but it's hard to believe that it's real, you call it surreal, like it's in a dream. I had a surreal experience recently. I saw an old friend that I hadn't seen for more than 20 years, and we were eating dinner together, and it was like we had never been apart. It was almost like it was yesterday. Even though we physically had aged, our spirits, our souls, it was just like I saw him yesterday. And it was surreal. It was a surreal feeling. It was hard to believe it was actually happening. One day recently, it was snowing very hard here in Kyoto, and the sun was shining, very brightly, in fact. Yet it was like a blizzard outside. I was wondering, where could the snow possibly be coming from? Because the sun was so bright, and even the sky was quite blue in some areas. Obviously, there must have been a cloud, a thick snow cloud up there somewhere causing that snow in my location. But it was surreal. It was hard to believe it was actually real, that it was the sun was shining, yet heavy snow was falling. Very strange. It was surreal. It wasn't unreal. I know that. It was true, but it was surreal. So that's the difference between the two. Please remember that when you're speaking. All right, that brings me to the end of this commentary. I hope that you find these useful, and I also hope that you put them to use, because then they become a part of your bank of English vocabulary that you can use off the top of your head.